First Peter chapter number 5, beginning at verse number 8. Peter writing, and he says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Amen. Basically, what he is saying is, you're not going through anything that somebody else hasn't or isn't going through. Amen. We all fighting the same enemy. He's coming at us in different forms, different ways and such. But what you're going through is nothing new. Amen. Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew chapter number 7, verse number 15. The Bible says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." Praise God. Amen. Tonight, and I guess our topic in this series has been recognizing in order to resist. This would be lesson 5. And tonight, if you want a subtitle for it, some days I don't have any titles. Today I got 2. Amen. So your subtitle tonight is, I want to talk about as a lion, as a sheep. Amen. As a lion, as a sheep. Praise God. I think it's unique that the enemy is characterized and classified as these things when we know that Christ is the Lion of Judah, and he is the Prince of Peace, but he is the Lamb of God. Amen. Our enemy is as a lion. He's not as a sheep. He's not. Praise God. Would you help me pray here tonight? God of heaven, we need you here today. Praying, Lord, that your word, God, would speak to us and deal with us. God, open up our understanding to us and help us, Lord Jesus, to be able to comprehend. Help us, oh Lord Jesus, to be able to get a hold of all that you're talking to us about, dealing with us about. Praying, God, that revelation would come tonight, God. Oh, we've got to have you. We've got to have you. We've got to have your touch today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen and amen. And God bless you, and you may be seated tonight. Praise God. Amen. Lesson 1, we learned about the different many manifestations of our enemy. We learned that he can appear, or he is as a roaring lion. He is, can be an angel of light. He's more subtle than any beast of the field. He's a wolf in sheep's clothing. But nevertheless, Isaiah 14 and 16, he said, "Is this the man that made the earth to tremble and that did shake kingdoms, that made the world a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof?" And so we also learn that from the very inception of the church, from the beginning of time, from the time that the church was formed, that there were problems and was created by our adversary. There were individual problems. There was group problems. There was church problems, spiritual problems. And Peter and James and John and Paul would all write concerning these problems throughout the ages. Amen. Lesson number 2, we talked about every work of confusion, being able to recognize and to be able to stop, and that when confusion is abounding, or when confusion is trickling in our lives, sprinkled in our lives, we've got to be able to recognize that confusion and stop, because God's not the author of confusion. And therefore, our enemy is the one that brings this confusion into our lives. We also talked about that God is light. Amen. In him was light. And in him was light, and the life was in him was life, and the life was the light unto men. Amen. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the light." The light speaks concerning revelation. God always spoke to his people. Amen. And he would say, "Thus saith the Lord," or he would tell the prophet, "Go tell them." But he would talk to them. And then we talked about darkness, that darkness was upon the face of the earth until the Lord spoke light unto it. And then chaos and confusion had to leave. So this talks of revelation. enlightenment in our lives. And so we want to make sure that we have that light in our lives. Number three, we learned about the power to be able to resist, and that the Lord said, all power is given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. And later on, he would say, and I would give you power over all the power of the enemy. Or in other words, I will give you the ability, or I will give you the authority over all of the abilities of the enemies. Praise God. Amen. We learned that we are not ignorant of Satan's devices, and that is the way that we are understanding, or we are able to resist him, because that we are not ignorant concerning those things. The Bible says that our enemy, as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He cannot devour you if you don't allow him to. You can stand, you can resist. Praise God. And then the Bible says, don't give place unto the devil. Praise God. Lesson number four was on a Sunday night, and we talked about recognizing the enemy that is in your storm. We talked about storms of disobedience, and those are the things that we accrue and we bring upon ourselves, but there are also storms that God puts us through, but then there are another set and a series of storms that are nothing but diabolical. They are satanic in their origin, and we have learned how to understand and to comprehend that, and understanding that God does not tempt man, according to James 1 and 13, and that God's storms are instructive while the devil's storms are destructive. And so you have to just kind of sit down, step aside, just take a little bit of time and begin to evaluate what you're going through. Did you cause that? Is God trying to teach you something, help you, strengthen you, or is the devil trying to tear you down? And if the devil is trying to tear you down, then it's time to resist. Amen. But if you're going to resist, you've got to make sure that you are submitted. Amen. Submit yourselves, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil, and the Bible says that he shall flee from you. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. And so we're going to get into our lesson today. Praise the Lord. Somewhere in the times and in the ages of 15 and 90 all the way through 16 and 13 was an individual that is well known throughout all of history. Wrote many different famous plays such as Macbeth and Hamlet and Romeo and Juliet and others. You know him as William Shakespeare. And in these Shakespearean plays, they would never have enough actors to be able to represent all of the characters that was in the play. And I found out something new today in studying this out, that it was the understanding that they used masks and different ways and different masks upon sticks is not as common as people would believe. And they believe that basically, I guess, that it was in all Shakespearean plays that they had the different a few people but many different characters, and they would put the mask in front of them, signifying that they were changing characters. But they actually did it, whereas that did happen to a small degree. They used other people in these plays. For instance, at that point in time, there may have been, but from what I have read, that there really was not too many, if any at all, women in the plays. But it was always young men, young boys that was dressed up. They used makeup to massage their character, their appearance, and such, and to lighten their countenance and such. But they would also use different wigs and different things to be able to represent different characters. And in these Elizabethan actors used the makeups and the wigs and their abilities, their talents, to be able to play multiple roles and to rapidly change characters and appearances quickly behind the curtains. And these techniques, alongside with costumes and performance styles, helped to be able to convey a character's gender, his age, his status, and his morality to the audience. And while the actors did not rely upon masks for primary character roles, they were used in specific theatrical situations. And beyond these physical transformation, the idea of a false face was a powerful thematic tool in Shakespeare's works. Amen. Praise God. But he wasn't the inventor of all of that. Amen. Because there was something called our adversary that mastered that technique so many hundreds and thousands of years prior to that. And the Bible would speak oftentimes about it. He was as a subtle beast. He was the serpent that beguiled Eve. He was represented in many different ways and such. And so this is our adversary. Our text tonight calls him two different things. Amen. And it likens him unto two different things. In 1 Peter 5 and 9, it would say that he was as a roaring lion. And then in Matthew chapter number 7 and verse number 15, amen, Jesus would say, beware of the false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Amen. Your enemy can be as a lion, but he can also do a complete flip, and he can be as a sheep. Amen. As a conquering, roaring lion, or as a docile, humble sheep. He possesses the ability, amen, to master each and every one of these. Paul, talking to the Corinthian church in his second letter to them in 2 Corinthians 11 and 14, Paul would say, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Amen. Paul was saying, look, if the enemy, if Satan himself can transform, amen, his very own being into an angel of light, it is no great thing that there are those amongst us classified as ministers of the gospel, ministers of righteousness, amen, that have been transformed into these vessels to be used in diabolical ways. Paul would talk and write to the church in Galatia, and he would say that I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert, or just simply to convert and to twist the truth or the gospel of Christ. He uses in these two verses two different words translated in the English as another. Amen. The first word that he used in verse number 6. He said that you've been called into grace of Christ unto another gospel. That word another is heteros. Amen. That was where we would get our word heretic. Amen. It is heretical, or I got that all wrong, heretical. And I got that wrong too, so you just fill in the blank of all of that. Amen. But it is it is that way, and that it is a heresy, amen. And that's what Paul was conveying, amen, that has called you from grace of Christ unto another, or unto something that is actually a heresy. And then he said, which is not another. That Greek word is allos, and it is another of the same kind. And so Paul was literally saying, amen, a different gospel, which is not the same gospel that I am preaching. What he wanted, amen, his readers, his hearers, to understand, amen, is that there are others
that are preaching like I am preaching. They're preaching a gospel, amen, like I'm preaching a gospel, but it's not the same gospel. As a matter of fact, it is heresy, and it has caused you to be removed. I'm not going to get into it, amen. Paul was talking about Judaism and the life that they were living, and Paul was saying, amen, you got to have faith, and you got to have works, and you got to do these things, and you got to, he was talking about a life of faith, and the Jews, amen, were preaching a gospel, and they were saying, you know what, it all sounds good, but that's not right, amen, you got to have all of this other stuff, you got to have the temple, you got to have sacrifices, you got all that, and so there were these people that was marching towards Christ, and all of a sudden they're going back, and they're marching back into the ways of the past, and Paul said, we've got to forget those things which are behind us. We've got to press on and go forth unto the things that are before us. Praise God. Amen. He said that they have perverted the gospel. Amen. That word pervert just simply means to transform something into something of the opposite character. Amen. Amen. If you understand this and you apply it in context, what Paul was saying, that they have perverted the gospel. In other words, it is the gospel that is going to save you, and they have twisted it and turned it into a gospel that is going to cause you to be lost. It is heresy, praise God. You know what? We've got to be able to stand up and tell it like it is. We've got to be able to stand up and proclaim the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, because it is the truth that is going to be able to set people free. Not a watered down truth, not a compromised truth, but it is the truth of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that is going to be able to set the vilest sinner free. Let's love the Lord today. Praise God. And so Paul goes on and he says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which has been preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we say before, so say I now again. Amen. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. I think it is of importance that we take a look at this, and we noticed the words that he used there when he said, but though we... He was not just speaking of they, amen, but he was including himself in it. And not only was he including himself in it, but what he was saying was, look, there are those that are established ministers among you. There are those that you know of. There are those that you know their name. They have ministered there. We could talk about Timothy, amen, going to and fro and ministering in different places that Paul had been, and Paul would even go send him to check out places and see how that they were doing while he was writing, and he would let them know, I've sent Timothy there, amen, to figure all things out, and then he's going to report back to me. But what Paul was saying is, if Timothy himself, if Titus comes, whoever it is, I don't care who it is, if they come, he said, if we come preaching unto you another gospel than that which is already preached, let him be accursed. And then he said, I don't care if it's a minister or if it's an angel, amen, from heaven. If they're preaching any other thing than which we have already preached, let him be accursed. Amen. This is because that the church was being tempted by these Judaizers, whom they already knew, many of them, amen, who were stressing that salvation was by works, amen, by living as Jews and circumcision and stuff. And history informs us that by AD and 70, that the Jewish rabbis, who may have been well and widely known at that time, had already added 341 rules just to daily life. Amen. And that was what was drawing them back. It was law that was drawing them back. And Peter or Paul was preaching life unto them. Amen. And Satan was getting his hand in it. Amen. And beginning to try to draw them and to reel them back unto a religious life that was dead, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, that had signified death even at Calvary. Amen. And Paul, amen, is trying to pull them this way. Amen. I'm telling you that the church being strung between two things, amen, had to take a look at it. And now they got to do one thing. They got to resist the devil and the false doctrine that's being preached, or they got to resist truth. I want to be sure that I'm not resisting truth. Amen. Even as it's been stated, I want the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Amen. Don't let me be lost. Preacher, don't let me be lost. Talk to me, preach to me, and help me be saved. Praise God. And that was the times, amen, that was there. Praise the Lord. And so Paul was writing to them to cause them to be able to recognize what was going on even among them under the name, under the banner of religion. Paul was writing to them in an apostolic way, amen, in order to inform them that they would know so that they could resist. Praise God. Amen. And so it's an angel of light, an angel from heaven, ministers of the gospel. Paul said it doesn't matter who that they are. You've got to be able to recognize them. How do you recognize them? The easiest way to recognize them is become ingrained and indoctrinated in truth. Amen. Praise God. When they are teaching bankers, man, all the fundamentals about counterfeit money, they don't give them a bunch of counterfeit money and say, here, feel this, feel this, feel this, so that you know what it feels like. They don't give them any counterfeit money. They want counterfeit to feel different in their hands, and so all they do is give them real stuff. Real, real, real. Amen. That's the way that we need to be. Praise God. We need to get a hold of the real thing. Praise God. Amen. And so I'm not going to be very much longer, but I want to talk to us about the times that he is a roaring lion, because we have to be able to recognize in order to resist. And so there's times that he comes at us as a roaring lion, and those are the easiest times to be able to recognize. But that doesn't mean that we do recognize, which signifies that we have got to be entrenched in the word, knowing what the word says, so that our conscience is sensitive and careful, and that we are walking according to the word of God, the ways of God, walking in the spirit, that we would not fulfill the lust of the flesh, staying close to God, so that we're not amen, drawn away, because that's what the lion does. He scopes them out, and he begins to find the weak one, and he begins to try to separate them from the rest of the herd, get them to a place and just watching them, and if that one that they feel like is the one, if he gets just a little bit too far away from the safety and the security of everything else, then the attack is on. And they immediately run in and push him away, push it away from everybody else, so that they would be able to destroy the prey. Praise God. Got to looking at it. The Bible said, as a roaring lion. I looked it up and I said, well, as a roaring lion, what's so special about the roar of a lion? And I found out a few interesting statistics. And I read that if everything is right, if the atmosphere, if the conditions are right, a lion's roar can be heard from 5 miles away. Just one lion, the roar can be heard from 5 miles away. A lion's vocal cords are completely different than any other
animals that is out there. And so it said that a lion's roar can be up to 114 decibels. So I thought, well, I don't understand what 114 decibels is, so what else is 114 decibels? And it mentioned that a loud car horn is 114 decibels. Well, I thought, well, that doesn't really make sense because, you know, I can't be 5 miles from Wichita and start hearing car horns in Wichita yet. And then I learned that when it is high-pitched like that and the tones of that, that they drown out, that they don't have as much vibration through. If Brother Narlock was here, he could explain all that, all right? But it doesn't have the ability to carry through the sound waves like low tones do. And it's the lion's low tone and that bass that is able to reverberate and cause massive movement in the sound waves that it will carry if the atmospheric conditions are right. Wind, obviously, is part of it. Rain is part of it. But if there's no rain, if there's no wind, then a lion's roar can be heard from 5 miles away, paralyzing all animals that are around. They immediately began to fear. And I'm not going to preach about fear tonight, but it is coming. Amen. But that's that it can be so far away, it does not even have to be within the vicinity, but be so far away that roar begins to cause anxiety, begins to cause panic, begins to cause stress, begins to cause fear that is there. What am I going to do? There's lions. It's 5 miles away. Come on. We got plenty of time to react. We got plenty of time to build a plan. We got plenty of time to do something. But that's the way that it is to strike terror and to strike fear in their lives and such. People hear it and know that they are there. Animals hear it, that they're there. They roar because they letting other lions know this is their territory. And basically, if I can't hear a lion, then I guess I can establish that it's my territory. But other lions would roar to tell me that this is their territory there. Amen. You know what? I can't get lost in all of that. But we're not in the territory of the devil as far as that. We're in God's kingdom. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. I understand we are in this world, but we're not of this world. Amen. But we are a part of the kingdom of God. Amen. Just because I'm in this world does not mean that I am susceptible, amen, as being the prey of the enemy. I can stand, I can resist, and I can be victorious in it all. Praise God. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. And so that is the lion. The lion that we would look at is muscular. That lion represents a strength and power. That lion represents loud because that he can be heard from 5 miles away and stuff. And so there are things in our lives that ought to just simply make good common sense amongst us that we would be able to recognize and say, no. That's the devil. No, that's the enemy. I'm not going to give in. I am going to resist. Amen. I am going to resist steadfast in the faith. Let me read to you some of these things. Amen. The Bible speaks. Speaks in Galatians chapter number 5 and verse number 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. I know that these are things that we have to agree to, amen, but we know that it's not that it's not God that is tempting us, but it is the devil that is bringing them temptations unto us. And so the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I'm not going to dive into each and every one of these things, but I just want you to understand that every one of these things just makes
good common sense. And you as the child of God ought to be able to recognize being full of the Holy Ghost or even having a little bit of Holy Ghost. Amen. But it shows you the necessity to be full of the Holy Ghost. You ought to be able to recognize these things. And I'm going to tell you today that the quicker, the sooner that you recognize these things and begin to stand steadfast against these things, the easier it is to be able to overcome these things and to be victorious. When you hear the devil 5 miles away, you better turn around and get away. Flee, amen, from the enemy. Praise God. Amen. I don't want to sound crude tonight, but I want to make my point. Amen. I don't care how handsome or how ugly you are. I don't care how beautiful, amen, or how atrocious you look. I don't care if you're skinny or fat. I don't care if you're strong or weak. I don't care if you're muscular, amen, or a skinny beanpole. Amen. I don't care if you're bald or you got a full head of hair. I don't care if you're buck tooth, amen, or got every tooth in your head and it's perfectly shining. Amen. Those pearly white smiles. I don't care what your look is. I don't care what your physique is. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. I want you to know something. There is somebody for everyone. Amen. The enemy has got somebody for you to try to tear you down. And you've got to be able to recognize that. And when it starts coming your way, you've got to be able to stand and say, I'm not going there. Don't give place to the devil. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Yeah. You don't just wake up one day, amen, in a bed of adultery and think, wow, how did I get here? You don't wake up after a moment of fornication and say, I'm shocked. I didn't even realize it was happening. No. These are things that you've got to be aware of. You've got to be cognizant of. And you've got to put a stop to them. Amen. As quickly as, I didn't say you've got to be rude. You don't have to be rude, but you don't have to give place to the devil. When that one of the opposite sex decides that they want to put their hands on you and rub your back a little bit, amen, come on. You need to make sure that they understand and that they know that's not appropriate. I don't do that. I don't do that. You know what? I have had worldly ladies, amen, that I have been acquainted with in business and all those other things and stuff, amen, that have come up to me and they run and give me a hug and stuff like that. But I promise you, I ain't wrapping them up in a bear hug and staying there for a little while. You know, the best thing that you can do immediately is turn your shoulder. They start coming, you turn that shoulder. Hey, how are you doing? It should never, hear me tonight, it should never feel comfortable when somebody of the opposite sex, amen, can make you feel comfortable by touch. Praise the Lord. Oh, come on now. This is just good old common sense preaching. Amen. I don't want to. Care who you are. I took a church in Texas, amen, that a 56, a 57 year old man had fallen into adultery. The preacher fell into adultery. I don't care who you are. The devil's coming after everybody. Amen. You can look at yourself in the mirror and point your finger in your chest and say, the devil's coming after me. Amen. The devil's coming after me. Praise God. You have got to be aware of these things. You've got to be conscious of these things. Amen. Don't just walk around in life with your head in the sky and the clouds. Because the devil's after you. The devil's after you. It doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter how old you are. The devil's after you.
idolatry, drunkenness, emulations. You think, oh man, those are the big bad things that the devil does. Man, I can throw up both of my hands and say, big old S-T-O-P, all capitalized. Stop! Font 72. Stop! But that's not all that it talked about. Adultery is fornication, uncleanness. You can't play around with the world and not come out unclean. You can't go play in the dirt and come back, amen, spick a span. Uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. What about this one? Hatred. Hatred. Well, I don't hate anybody. That's the way it's got to be. Variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions and heresies. Amen. We need to be as conscious about creating and allowing strife as we do about adultery and fornication. Because the devil's going to get into your life with this little thing called strife. S-T-R-I-F-E. He's going to get into this. He's going to get into your heart with strife. Amen. You may not wind up a fornicator. You may not wind up an adulterer. But you're going to be going home thinking to yourself, nobody likes me. Nobody came and shook my hand. Nobody had time to do anything. Well, hello, you was already walking out the door before I said you're dismissed. I didn't get a chance to come shake your hand. But you see, that's the work of the devil. And you've got to be able to recognize that. And you've got to stand and you've got to resist that. You cannot allow strife to get in your life. Amen. If you think that somebody doesn't like you, somebody, amen, just go to them with a big old smile, shake their hand, tell them, I'm praying for you. I love you. Amen. And love them. Amen. And pray for them and help them and do whatever you can. Don't let the devil get between you and somebody else in the church. You need to recognize. Oh, I can recognize, amen, a Bud Light bottle. I can recognize, amen, Copenhagen and Skull pockets and such. I can recognize drugs. I can recognize adultery. Stay away from me, floozy. I can recognize fornication. But can you recognize strife? You've got to be able to recognize these things because there's only one thing that the devil is interested in, and that is causing your soul to be lost. Amen. The devil would love it if you didn't come to church any longer. Amen. The devil wants you to stay on the outside of church. The devil doesn't want you to hear preaching. He doesn't want you to feel the strength of the church. He does not want these things in your life, and you've got to be conscious and you've got to recognize these things so that you can resist the devil. Amen. If he can't get you with hatred, amen, he may try to get you with adultery. If he can't get you with adultery, he'll try to get you with strife. But I just tell you today, he's not going to give up no matter what it takes. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, thank you, Jesus. Woo, Jesus. Jesus is talking right now. If you can't give your phone to your spouse and let your spouse read through all those texts and stuff, amen, something's wrong. You need to recognize that and cut it off. You kids that are at home, don't get mad at your parents when they say, let me see your phone. Amen, amen. There's no reason to get mad at mom. No reason to get mad at dad when they take your phone. Amen. If everything's correct and right on that, you don't have to worry about anything. Thank God for parents that would be willing to watch. Thank God for parents that'll stand upon, amen, the wall and say, hey, I want my children to be saved. If you've got to delete the text so that your spouse doesn't find it, it probably wasn't right anyway. Unless it's talking about their surprise birthday party that you're going to give them or something. But you understand what I'm saying. If there's conversations via text, I'm just telling you that's what the Lord just dropped in my spirit. Amen. If there's conversations via text, there's conversations via, what's that one on Facebook called? instant messenger, if there's conversations via direct messaging and all those other things that make you feel uncomfortable the first time, it needs to stay uncomfortable. But the devil just wants to try to make it comfortable. I wasn't meaning anything bad by that. I mean, come on. I mean, I'm married too. Don't give place to the devil. Don't give place to the devil. Well, glory to God. Lord's talking. You don't need to be texting people of the opposite sex. Amen. If you're a married individual. Well, glory. I mean, if it's business, it's business. But I'm talking about out of that. Well, praise God. You know what? Let me just say it like this, how I feel it. Amen. Your past is the past. Leave it in the past. But when you start going digging up all kinds of old communications and old girlfriends and old boyfriends and stuff and start connecting and stuff, amen, you're asking for trouble. You're asking for problems. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. That's why Jesus said, I am the light. I'm going to come. I'm going to shine some light on some things and cause darkness to dissipate. It's going to look like a bunch of cockroaches. Amen. That just flurry out of the place and trying to get back to the dark. You need to recognize these things so that you will be able to resist these things. And if these things are going on in your life, I am encouraging you tonight, shut it off. Turn it off. If you can't control social media, get rid of it. Amen. If you can't control it, get rid of it. Amen. Praise God. You say, well, I don't have any boyfriends and girlfriends and all that other stuff, the opposite sex on social media. But if it eats up all of your time, if it eats up all of your time, you don't have time for Bible reading, you don't have time for praying, you don't have time for this, but you got plenty of time to, amen, to run and to surf the web and to endlessly scroll through things and such like that. Amen. Come on. You've got to be able to recognize the lion. Some of these things are so bold. Some of these things are so strong. The temptations are so strong. Some of these things are so loud. Amen. That you've got to be able to hear. You've got to be able to recognize. And you've got to be able to say, you know what? I'm not staying here anymore. I got to get out of this situation. I got to get away from this because I don't want to be lost. Praise God. Becomes like Moses killing one of those Egyptians. He smote that Egyptian, and while he's covering up in the sand, he's looking. Bible said he is looking both ways, seeing if anybody saw him do that. If whatever you were doing, sneaking around, going to places and all this stuff, and you got to look around to see if anybody's watching you, you got to sit in the parking lot and look around to see if anybody's following you, see if you recognize God, it's wrong. You got to be able to recognize this is the devil after my soul. And I can be saved, but I also can be lost. And just because I'm saved today doesn't mean that I'm going to be saved tomorrow. The decisions that I am getting ready to make right now, amen, are going to decide whether I'm going to be lost or I'm going to be saved. And when you play around with fire, it's going to burn you. You can't take fire into your bosom and not come away burnt. Praise God. Praise God. Well, glory to God. I feel like I hit a major stump in all of that. I feel like I hit a major stump in all of that. That's just a lion. We're not even talking about as a sheep. We're talking about as a lion. He's not hiding his agenda. He's not sneaking around and slithering up to you like a subtle serpent. He's not hiding and masquerading all that. He's loud. Amen. He's in your face. And you've got to be able to, you have got to be the keeper of your soul. And you've got to be able to shut things down. And like I said before, the quicker you shut it down, the easier it is. But when you allow that relationship, that bond, when you allow that to continue, it gets stronger and stronger and stronger, and it gets harder and harder and harder to break. And the enemy knows that. And so he's going to wine you and dine you, sweet talk you, tell you how much that he loves you, but I promise you the devil does not love you. There's only one thing that he's interested in, and that is seeing you broken on the outside. You may be a multimillionaire, but he don't care. That's a cheap price for him to pay if you're broken. Kill, steal, destroy. That's what we learned week 4. Kill, steal, and destroy. That's his agenda. He has no other agenda. Kill, steal, destroy. If I got to pay $1 million, I'll pay $1 million. But to see him live and to suffer, to be in eternity and hell forever, it's worth it. If she's cute and beautiful and showing off plenty of flesh, he'll send them your way if that's what entices you. If he's muscular, tanned, shaped, catches your attention, he'll send them your way. Whatever it is, he'll send them your way. Praise God. Amen. Oh, I could stop right there. But he's not always as a roaring lion. The Bible likens the enemy as unto a wolf in sheep's clothing, personifying, representing a docile, humble, laid-back, casual sheep. These are things that are a little bit harder to recognize. You don't recognize them as quick as you do other things. It's not the flusy. It's not the prince in shining armor. It's not the loud, proud. It's not the in your face, but it is the sneaky. He's a wolf, but he's dressed in sheep's clothing, sneaking in to the wolves. And many times it takes the observance of the shepherd to know, say, you know what? That just doesn't look like a sheep. He's not walking like a sheep. His mannerisms are not like a sheep. And you start looking into it a little bit closer and a little bit deeper before you begin to recognize and realize. I've spoke of this before. My dad worked on a ranch. And they ran, I don't remember how many sheep that they had. There was a lot. But you know what? Oftentimes, you know, the tragedy of the situation was that oftentimes when the ewes were lambing, and we didn't know if they had one or two. So we didn't know if one was missing or not missing. But we would try to stay out there, and we would try to keep count, and we would try to make it, you know, right now we've got 10 lambs. Right now we've got 21 lambs. Right now we've got this many lambs and stuff. So the next time you're out there, you start counting and stuff. But you know what the tragedy is? There's oftentimes you don't realize when one is gone. You may not realize when two is gone, but then all of a sudden three or four is gone. And you may not have been out there counting them every day and stuff, but three or four or five is gone. You say, you know what? We got a problem. One time it was a big brown eagle. An eagle taking away the lambs. One time it was red fox. So we had to make sure that we took care of the problem. Man, because this is the way that it is. There are things in life that sneak up and catch you unaware. Some of these are hurts. Some of these blindside you. Things that you find out. It's so easy. That's why you got to stay prayed up. That's why you got to stay strong in the Lord. Because if you stay closer to the Lord, the chance of the wolf getting you is not as great. But when you're constantly playing around on the perimeter, the chance of the wolf giving you is greater. Praise God. And the unique thing about it is that Jesus likened it unto false prophets. Now, I understand that we're talking about ministry, but I want to take it a step further, and I don't believe that we're getting out of context in reality. But it's just simply the fact of those that you would trust. Those that you would put your trust in. And you don't realize it when they begin to bend your ear. You know, oftentimes, let me just say it like this. It's easier to spot a spirit of adultery than it is to spot a spirit of gossip. It's easier to spot a spirit of fornication than it is to spot a spirit of division. Because they don't just jump up in your face as a lion and say, I'm here to divide and conquer. You would recognize that and you would say, no. But a spirit of division says, you know what? I mean, I'm not meaning anything bad by this, but, you know, I think he's a really good person, but, you know, you need to be very careful when you hang out around them. And you know what that is? That's a spirit of pride. It doesn't often come as the lion, but it comes as the lamb. It can come as the lion, but it can also come as the lamb. As a lamb. It's a wolf. When you see everybody flocking to this one or everybody hanging around this one and stuff, and so the Bible said that without pride there can be no contention. When you allow people to bend your ear, twist your ear, and sow discord, you understand it's the same agenda. If I can't get you with fornication and adultery, I'll get you with gossip and dissension and discord. If I can't get you with the loud and bold things and stuff, if I can't get you with dope and heroin, and I can't get you with marijuana, and I can't get you with alcohol and all those other things, then I'll get you with little things. I'll just come in as a figure of ministry, ministering to your life. You know what? You need to be careful about such things. And you need to be careful hanging around this one. And you need to be careful hanging around that one and stuff. You know what you need to do at that point in time? You say, you know what? I'm going to go talk to my pastor about this. Well, that's the truth. And you may say, well, you know what? I just don't want to feel petty. Looking out for your soul isn't petty. But you understand that in the book of Proverbs, the Bible said that there were six things that God hated. Seven was an abomination unto him. And so he talked about a lying tongue. You got to have discernment if you're going to pick up on that, because he's not going to come to you and say, now, Brother Daniel, I know that you think that the sky's blue, but in all reality, it's not. Your eyes are playing tricks on you. The sky is like green. And so you start thinking about it and pondering. That's not the way that the devil comes to you and telling you such a lie that you're like, bro, that's dumb. Well, no, nobody gonna believe that. I know, Brother Daniel, that everybody has taught you there's 7 days in the week, but there's not. There's actually eight. There's 8 days. Oh, where did you come from? They're not going to be that away. But he's going to tell you a lie that is so believable, that is so close. Talking about those true false tests, that's as a sheep. As a sheep. Not necessarily as a lion, but as a sheep. Slowly, subtly, getting in amongst you, causing you to feel comfortable around them. Amen. Praise God. But the end is not that. That's not His desires for the end. It's not to live peaceably. It's just to cause division and discord. Praise the Lord. Amen. You've got to recognize this, because the enemy comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. If somebody's coming in trying to talk about your brothers and your sisters in the church, I ain't got time for that. If they're coming in talking about your pastor, I ain't got time for that. No, I ain't got time for that. I ain't got time. Why? This is my soul. This is my soul. This is my eternity. You've got to be able to recognize in order to resist. Amen. You can recognize that flusy. You can recognize that spirit, amen, of fornication. You can recognize that spirit of alcohol. You can recognize that spirit of dope. You can recognize that spirit of illicit moments. You can recognize all of that, but can you recognize discord? Can you recognize strife? Can you recognize gossip? Can you recognize the little things? Hey man, I'm telling you today, it's all coming from the same source. And if He can't get you as a lion, He's coming as a sheep. Hey man, He's not a lion and He's not a sheep. He is an adversary, and you've got to be able to recognize it. And when you recognize it, the Bible says that you've got to resist steadfast. Let's stand here tonight. Though we or an angel from heaven, Satan transformed as an angel of light, it's no big deal that his ministers would be able to transform themselves. You cannot allow yourself to be a tool of the devil. You got to recognize it. You can't be a tool to sow division. You can't be a tool to sow discord. You can't be a tool to sow gossip and dissension. You've got to recognize it, and you've got to resist it. I'm not going there. I'm not going to do that. Amen. You see, there's a whole lot more. I've got more to preach, but I'm done. There's a whole lot more. There's so much more than just all of the vices that are out there on the outside. There's so many more ways of temptation than alcohol and drugs and adultery and fornication. There's so many more vices than that. Your enemy's been doing it for a long, long time. And he knows how to do it. And you know what? He'll even go as far as to teach you how to do it. Oh yeah. Bible says that Jonadab had a friend. No, it wasn't Jonadab. Jonadab was the friend. And a friend whose name was Jonadab. And this guy loved his sister Tamar. But he knew he couldn't have her. That was his sister. So Jonadab said, "Let me teach you how to do it. You're just an old Pentecostal church pew boy. I'll teach you how to get her." Devil will do that. You got to be able to recognize. You got to be able to recognize. Why? Because it's my soul. It's my salvation. It's eternity. It's heaven or hell. And the quicker that I realize it, the easier it is to get away from it. But if you're lured in like that bird into the fowler's trap, and you approach with caution, and something doesn't look right, but you don't turn around and take flight, you give heed to conversation, heed to text messages, instant messages, direct messages, phone calls, touches, touch here, a touch there, flirtation here, flirtation there, sweet compliments here, sweet compliments there. Then all of a sudden you get a little bit too close and that trap slams shut. And you're captured. You've got to be able to recognize so that you can resist. Because the enemy only comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Fame and fortune will kill you. It'll destroy you. You got to be able to recognize it so that you can resist, so that you don't wind up like a Demas, Ananias, Sapphira. You don't wind up like a Judas. Come running back to the Lord. So, oh God, save me. I remember many, many years ago being at a ministerial conference, and Brother Booker was preaching. Oh, Brother Booker, if you know him, like 6 foot six or something like that, a big old guy. And he is all folded up in his car. And he was going down the streets of California, wherever he was, Los Angeles or whatever. And he came up to a red light, and there was this woman standing on the street corner. And she looked at him, and she smiled. She winked at him, and she took her finger. She beckoned him to come. He said he got out of there as fast as he can. He basically hot-dogged it all the way to home. He came home and he ran into his house and fell in his wife's lap. And his wife was like, "My Lord, what is going on?" And he's screaming out, "Baby, help me, a hooker's trying to get me." You say, how funny. That's how we need to be. That's how we need to be when it comes to our soul. Don't give place at all to the devil. Say, well, Pastor, how can I make them stop giving me compliments? Stop feeding it back. Stop complimenting and flirting back. I'm not flirting. You're falling into their trap. It's exactly what the devil wants. Oh, Lord, I could preach for a long time. You can't do it. You can't do it. You can't give place to the devil. As a lion or as a sheep? As a lion ought to be easy to recognize. But as a sheep in wolf's clothing, it's not that easy. You got to be prayed up. You got to be close to the shepherd. You know how the bear got one of David's sheep? You know how the lion got one of David's sheep? It wasn't the ones that was closest to David. It was the ones that was on the outskirts. Make sure you're close to the shepherd. Stay close to God. Stay prayed up. Stay in the Word. Amen. Praise God. We'll finish this some other time, some other day, because there's other ways that the devil's going to lie to you, and it's as a sheep, but it's a wolf in sheep's clothing. Amen. You've got to recognize it so that you can resist it. And if you resist, he shall flee. You submitted to God, resist the devil, he shall flee. He can't beat you. He can't overcome you. He can't destroy you. He can't whip you. You say, man, this sounds like a victim battle. I can't win. Oh, you can win. You got to stay close to God. Submitted to God. And resist the devil. That old devil sitting here telling you, come here, little boy. Come here, little girl. You got to run. You got to run. Amen. Praise God. These altars are open tonight. You need to come. You need to come. You know why I can say that so strongly? Because I hit something major tonight. I'm talking to somebody. I'm talking to a few people. Come on, it's time to shut it down.